Ryan. Ryan Carter.
Huh? What?
The one-eyed man awakened in an instant, his arms coming up and grabbing at the source of the voice, still half in a dream of his brother Harvey in Front Royal. His strong fingers grasped at soft flesh, feeling the windpipe of someone's throat. Small hands shot up to grip his wrists, the counter-grip incredibly strong for the size of the short, stubby fingers. There were no nails as the grip tightened, as if whoever owned the hands was a compulsive nail-biter.
Fucking stoop! Let the fuck go!
Ryan, still not fully awake, could feel the blood cutting off in his wrists as the other grip tightened, desperation lending it strength. His vision adjusted to the gloom of the room, only a faint patina of light penetrating from the redoubt corridor as the door to their quarters wasn't fully closed. He could make out a blonde head before him, with green eyes that pierced the shadows. Suddenly realizing where he was and recognizing the woman before him, he released his grip. Kath staggered back a step or two.
Nuke shit. What were you trying to do?
I was in the middle of a nightmare. Triple stoop thing to do, Kath. Sneak up on a man like that.
Yeah, well, it's not something I do from choice. I usually like him to know when I'm coming.
Then what are you doing here?
Papa Joe sent me to fetch you. He figures there's something you should see, but he said not to disturb the others, which is why I was trying to be gentle about it. And all you do is try and fucking chill me.
Ryan grinned, made crooked by the scar down his face.
You don't get much in the way of subtlety on the outside.
If that's the best I'm going to get from you by way of an apology, then I suppose it'll have to do. But it's a bit, well, crap, really. Anyway, stop pissing around. We got things to do.
Kath turned and left the room, slipping out through the door by opening it to the barest minimum and letting in the least possible light. Ryan figured this was to enable the others to stay sleeping, and did likewise as he exited the room, blinking as he came into the stronger light of the corridor. The hellbender was already some way down the corridor ahead of him. She turned.
Come on, fuckwit, we haven't got all night.
Ryan allowed himself an inward smile. Such spirit would probably make the small blonde good in a firefight. He quickened his pace to catch up to her. She led him through the deserted corridors and down a level to where one of the berths contained old SEC camera equipment. Ryan followed her into the room to find two of the hellbenders sitting in front of the screens with Carell standing behind them. He turned to acknowledge Ryan as he heard them enter.
You were slow, Kath.
Sorry about that, but some people think that trying to wake them in the middle of the night means you want to fucking chill them. And maybe you should.
Maybe Rudy will figure that out one day. Subtlety isn't your strong point, is it, Kath? Still, he's here now.
So can I go and get some sleep and dream about my neck being covered in hot tar all night instead of getting ready for a firefight?
Yeah, go make your man happy.
Hell with that.
Kath left them with a glare at Ryan.
I apologize, Ryan. I should have sent someone better, but she was the first one available as she'd just come off watch. It put her in a bad temper anyway, as she does like to sleep. Or at least sleep with Rudy. A good and true fighter, though.
I don't doubt that. So why did you bring me here?
Look.
Carell stood back, allowing Ryan to see the monitors. Most of them were for the redoubt's interior. They showed a skeletal watch preparing some last-minute details for the attack to be mounted the next day, and little else. The vast majority of the hellbenders were, as had been Ryan himself, getting some much-needed and all-important rest. But four monitors on the bank were for the outside. They covered north, south, east, and west, rotating through almost 180 degrees on their respective mountings and taking in almost all the territory that surrounded the rock outcrop where the redoubt was based. There could be little, if any, of the surrounding desert that wasn't covered. No blind spots where potential attackers could hide. It was, however, no human or animal agency that had grabbed Carell's attention. The night was lit up by the raging clouds of a chemstorm, the chemical reactions inside the rad-blasted clouds creating flashes of light that made the outside seem almost as bright as day. Rains lashed down horizontally onto the rock, eventually scoring across the sandy and dry soil, churning it up with the winds and the force of the water into a quicksand of mud and deep puddles that would make the journey treacherous as they set out the following day. As the sun came up and burned into the earth, then the soil would dry out and make the going easier, but it would also harden the tracks they had left behind them, Tracks that wouldn't have existed on the dry earth, and tracks that could give away their position and movement, and thus betray the ambush. That was always assuming, of course, that the chemstorm would abate by morning. It was also highly possible that it could continue for hours, even days, and so completely wipe out the planned rendezvous for the two convoys. All this raced through the one-eyed man's mind as he watched the monitors.
How long has this been going on?
About 2 hours.
How long do they usually last?
Hard to say, friend. We don't really get much in the way of chemstorms out here. This is only the third I can remember in as many years.
Fire blast. Well, the timing's perfect.
Yeah. There's no way in hell they'll rendezvous if this shit continues. It'd be suicide to try and move through that.
The two men remained silent for a moment, watching the images on the screen. The storm was awesome in its fury, with the rolling clouds crashing together, sparking off flashes of lightning, colored by the residues of chemicals carried within the acid rain that beat strange patterns into the soil, fashioned by the conflicting drifts of wind that beat into each other, causing eddies and whirls of dust and mud to whirl around the sparse vegetation, which was being ripped from its fragile rooting. Any animals or reptiles that wished to risk the storm were soon chilled, the majority opting to take whatever cover they could find. The orange-gray sulfurous light that spread and suffused the land cast an unearthly pallor, making the landscape seem even more alien and unfriendly than it did before.
If it abates before sunrise, then we've got a chance of things going ahead. I can't see the rendezvous not taking place unless it's as absolutely impassable as this.
Jorgensen and Hutter both have a mutual need. They've taken long enough to get this far with each other. They're not likely to blow out their asses unless necessary. For start, they need to communicate with each other to arrange a mutual point in time, and that won't be easy, especially as they won't know whether or not the other has sent their convoy out.
Ryan mused on this for a moment. Things were starting to get really complicated. Should they risk a move?
How about us?
What? Should we stay or go?
No. I mean, what about your spies? Is there any way they could let us know about changes of plan?
No reason why not if it's a rearrangement. Thing is, they can't let us know in this bastard chemstorm. This is when I wish we already had the old tech secrets.
I can't think of anything I've ever come across that could penetrate successfully through the rat interference you get with this kind of storm. You've got spies in both vills?
One in each. And up to now, they've been able to keep us informed with some old radio equipment that we worked out how to use. Well, Danny did. That boy's useful to us, despite the fact that I reckon he'd buckle in a firefight. But these old handhelds are only so effective. The signal gets too broken up too easily, even with the usual rad shit that's in the atmosphere, let alone with some bastard storm like this.
If it abates before morning, they'll get in touch as soon as they can to let us know if it's still on, won't they?
They know they have to. Let us down at this point, and they might as well kiss their asses goodbye about ever linking up again. Same reason our man in Charity didn't help the wreck party. No way could he afford to blow his cover, not at this point. If they got into trouble and got themselves chilled, well, that was their problem, right?
Huh. Had to be.
Ryan suddenly began to wonder if Carell's hardline discipline didn't run the risk of engendering rebellion. As long as it held for the next day, they would be okay. On reflection, it did seem that, despite his tendency to harsh judgment, he had little to fear from his people, all as driven in their own manner as their leader. All the while he and Carell had been exchanging views, the other two inhabitants of the room had been sitting in silence, monitoring the storm. Now one of them spoke.
Whoa. Look at that.
Outside, the storm was showing no signs of abating. If anything, it had decided to whip itself into even more of a frenzy than ever before. Bolts of orange, red, and blue lightning clashed and lit up the sky until the images from the monitor screens in the darkened room were bright enough to show every line of hate etched across the face of Carell as Ryan cast an eye over the Hellbender's leader. His eyes blazed almost as bright and fierce as the storm.
Shit. If this doesn't calm down, there won't be any Charity or any Summerfield to fight against. I figure we must be safe enough down here, unless a bolt of that lightning hits the rock full on and splits it. But it must be hell on earth to be in those vills right now.
Let's hope they hold out. Come to that, if there's casualties, let's hope that your spies in each vill aren't among them. No way we'd know if it was being chilled or fucked up equipment that stopped them getting in touch.
Carell didn't reply. There was an almost imperceptible shaking of his head as his eyes, unblinking, stayed fixed on the screen.
Nothing we can do. I figure we should try to get some rest and prepare in the morning as though we were setting out. If the storm's still raging, or if we hear the rendezvous is off from either side, then at least we've practiced for the real thing.
For a few moments, it seemed as though Carell hadn't heard Ryan. Then he turned to face the one-eyed man, his eyes at first cold and blank, then firing with recognition as he dragged himself back from his own personal hell.
Yeah. Guess you're right.
Ryan turned and left the room, but as he paused on the threshold and looked back, he saw that Carell wasn't about to follow. The gaunt man had turned back to the monitors, his eyes still unblinking.